We have a lot of halachot that we have to go over today. I will try to get all of them in as much as possible within the next hour. As a preface to my words and also as a conclusion to my words, I will say as follows. And that is that today, tonight, at 8 o'clock, there's going to be an Achdus Chagiga outside on the lawn. We're inviting everyone from Ramat Shiloh, everyone from Ramat Beit Shemesh, everyone from Beit Shemesh, and all Jews in the world can come and participate in this beautiful display of Achdus. We know that Haman HaRasha, his taina on the Jewish people, his taina to Achashverosh was Yeshu Amechad, Mifuzar Mifurad Miven Amim, that there is a nation that is all spread out. There is no Achdus in this nation. And the tikkun of that is Kimu VeKiblu, that we accept the Torah as one nation, and that the Achdus of Am Yisrael is indeed there. We know that today, literally today, is not exactly a day which displays the revealed Achdus, or displays the hidden Achdus of Beit Shemesh. Outside, it does not look like we are all united today. But really inside, we all know that all Jews, we're really all coming from one source. And we all have the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we all have the same Torah, and we're all part of one nation and one country, and the Achdus is there. So tonight, at 8 o'clock, everyone is invited, encouraged, and welcome to join as we celebrate this great, the true Bechirot, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ata Bachartanu, you chose us. You voted Am Yisrael, all of Am Yisrael, not half, not the other half, but all of us. So tonight, Bezrat Hashem Achdus, with that statement, Mishnechna Sada Marba Misimcha. There's a great Simcha this month. And we know that is brought down in Shulchan Aruch even, that a person should be happier in these times. In fact, the Gemara says that if you have a court case, you should do it during Adar. Adar is the time to do your court case because there's a certain special mazal, a certain special luck, quote-unquote, to Am Yisrael during this time. So that's the first thing. And in the context of that month, we have the Chag of Purim. What does that mean that there's a luck? You know, we believe that ain't mazal Yisrael. Anybody want to take that question? There's no mazal to Yisrael. There may not be any mazal to Yisrael, but there's a different way which HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with us in every month of the year. Two stand out, Av and Adar. Av, Mishenechnas Av Mimatin B'Simcha, because there we feel, we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows His relationship to us. We may not be deserving, Chas V'Shalom, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of His close connection. Adar? As the Hasidic masters say, Aleph Dar, Aluf Dar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Great One, dwells amongst us, and we are protected. Aleph, we have a special relationship. Dar, Kadosh Baruch Hu dwells amongst us, which is why we read the parshiot of Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakal, Pkuda, Kidisa. Also, the parshiot of the Mishkan, where Kadosh Baruch Hu resides amongst us. So that's what Adar is about. In that context, we'll speak about Purim. There are four parshiot. Name them. Zachor. Para, Shkalim, Chodesh. Right, so it's Shkalim, Zachor, Para, Chodesh. Shkalim is the first one. Where does it come from? That's the Parsha, very good. So, yes, it does come from Kitisa. But where does it come from? So originally, it used to be that Mashmiya, the Mishnayos start off in Masechet Shkalim, that Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mashmiya Mal Shkalim, they would announce, they would proclaim, they would to everybody that you gotta bring the machzir shekel. What was the machzir shekel for? Anyone want to answer? No. What was it for? Every year. What was it for? Say again. The Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash for what? Once the Beis Hamikdash for what? Karbanos. Yes, they would only buy the karbanos in Nisan, but you'd collect the money for a month, sort of like Ophir collects money for all sorts of things for about a month until it actually happened. So you're gonna have to. Where did Ophir go? He's probably collecting. Well, there isn't. Yeah. So he's. So you're usually there. Anyway, so that is. It takes about a month till everyone collects it. So they start Rosh Chodesh Adar. They mashmim al hashkalim on Rosh Chodesh Adar. The question is, what does that have to do with our reading of the shkalim? So we read the shkalim in parallel to that mitzvah of collecting the shkalim, perhaps. But why do we read this parsha before Purim? Is just a coincidence? So Rashi says that that we read it because this was the time that it happened. They used to announce on Rosh Chodesh Adar, that it predated the Korban. Has nothing to do with the Korban. They would announce to bring the Shkalim, and that's why we read it during this time. The Mishnah Berurah says something else. He says, today we do not have a Beis HaMikdash. We cannot bring the Korbanot, and therefore we do not collect the Machzid HaShekel. So then why do we read the Parsha? Says the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Lavush, that Unishalma Farim Sifateinu, that instead of bringing the bulls, instead of bringing the Korbanot, we say the Parsha. Just like we do Korbanos in the morning, we say the Parsha of Tamid, because we can't bring the Parsha of Tamid, and we hope, like the Gebloka Pasuk in Hosea, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu will accept our saying of the Parsha as if we actually brought the Korban. So that's another reason why we do it, according to Mishnah Berurah. And the Sefer Chinuch similarly says as well that it's there to remind us of the Machzid HaShekel. We don't have it today. So it's sort of like a Zecher LeMikdash. We do a lot of things today to remind us of what we don't have. And Bezrat Hashem, Shibin Abed Ganash, will be collecting the Machzid HaShekel really, and not just to remind us. B'mirab Yemeinu. Amen. Okay. The Gemara, though, makes an amazing connection. You listening to this, Gabe? I want you to write about this. The Gemara Megillah says the following. The Gemara says, Galui v'yadua lifnei misha amar v'ya olam. It is revealed to he who said, and the world was created, a Kaddish Baruch Hu, she'atid Haman lishkol shkalim al Yisrael, that in the future Haman would count out, measure out some shkalim, and give them to who? For what purpose? To wipe out the Jewish people, right? So that's what the Gemara says. And therefore, lefichach, higdim shikleim lishiklav, lishkalav, vainin ditnan b'achad badar, mashmin ala shkalim. Therefore, Kaddish Baruch Hu already, centuries before, made a commandment that we would collect shkalim. And that should be almost like a lakdim trufalamaka. That this would be a kapara for us to save us in the days of Haman. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara already makes an inherent connection between the shkalim that were given and the Nes of Purim. We always read Parshat Shkalim before Purim. Generally speaking, we read it a week before. But if Shabbos of Adar, Rosh Chodesh Adar, falls down on Shabbos, so then we would read Parshat Shkalim like this year on Shabbos itself. And then the next, which is this week, we would read Parshat Zachor. Right, that's the one right before Shabbos, right? No, Shabbos was on Rosh Chodesh. Yeah. Was Sunday Monday? I'm in the wrong year. Wrong notes. Was not Shabbos. You're right. You're correct. I take it back. So that's why we read it a week before. Right. If Shabbos, if it was on Rosh Chodesh, we would read it on Rosh Chodesh. Correct. You're correct. Okay. Today we don't have Machzid HaShekel. We have something called Zecher LeMachzid HaShekel. We'll start off the halachas now with that. Zecher LeMachzid HaShekel, we're very, very particular. We say Zecher LeMachzid HaShekel and not Machzid HaShekel. Why? When I give something, if I say it's Machzid HaShekel, Jacob, then I'm actually giving it to the Beis HaMikdash. It becomes Hekdesh. We don't do that, right? So therefore, it's only Zecher LeMachzid HaShekel. It has no Kedusha whatsoever. It's not for the Korbanos. And then it goes to something else, which we'll find out in a minute. Okay. So who is Chayav in giving this Zecher LeMachzid HaShekel? How much do you have to give? When do you have to give it? All these are great questions. So let's figure it out. First of all, who? What do you think? Who's Chayav to give it? Anyone who's keeping up with the Mishnah Berurah Seder in the morning would know. Who's Chayav? It's actually a machlokas. So on the original mitzvah of giving, it was a question of who would give it. And there we find a machlokas on Perushim of the Mishnah, Rav Bar Tanura, and Tosfos Yontif. One opinion is it's only from age 20 and up, because the people who would go to war, they're the ones who would give the Machzid HaShekel. Another opinion is no, anybody who is who's bar mitzvah, is part of a mitzvah, he's already chayv in mitzvah, so he should give. Today we don't have the Machzid HaShekel. The question is, are we doing it as a memory of that, or are we doing it just as a tzedakah, or why are we doing it just to remember the mitzvah? In any event, today it seems to be well agreed upon and received that just about everybody gives. Mr. Brewer brings down a shita that you'd give not only for men, but for women. Not only for men who are 13 and up, but even for kids. And not only for kids, but even for a fetus you would give. Very good. Thank you for listening, Mr. Brewer-Sater. Even for a fetus you'd give. But the rule is, if you started giving for any one of those categories that are not certainly who you should give for, then you should continue to give afterwards. How much should you give? What do you think? So it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. You know, you should bring a machzita shekel is
a half
of whatever currency of the country you're in is at that time. So if you're in America, you give a half a dollar. If you're in Israel, you give a half a shekel. And every single currency would be the same. And there's a minig to give brought down the Ramah. You bring three machzita shekels. Why three machzita shekels? Because in the parsha of Truma, Eitan, how many times does it say Truma? Just say three.
Three,
you're correct. So it says three times Truma. So that's why we give three times machzita shekel. Okay. You're going to have on, normally we would do it right before Purim, which is usually on Tanit Esther. This year, Tanit Esther falls out on Thursday, and Purim is Motzei Shabbos, so we can't really put out on Shabbos the Machzita Shekel thing. So we're going to do it on Tanit Esther. So that's what we usually do. We have the box out there, and you give the Machzita Shekel. How much should you give? So we said 1.5 shekels would be the right. Or some say you don't even have to have three Machzita Shekels. One is enough. And some say you give whatever amount you want. Svaradim are generally makbid. I believe the Kaf HaChaim said it should be of pure silver, meaning not that you have to give actually pure half shekel silver coins, but it should be the value of that, which today, the value of that 9 grams of silver, which is the amount, is about $6. So that's Svaradim. Svaradim, $6. Ashkenazim, half a shekel, or a shekel and a half. Decide what you want to be this year. Okay. Listen, you have to pay something for eating rice on Pesach. That's the so that's you. Okay. In any event, it's just a minhag. So really, any amount you give is fine. Some people are very machmed to give 3 half coins. And we have Raquel Wasser every year. He takes like a cardboard piece. He puts 3 half shekel pieces and so carefully tapes them onto that. And he says you should redeem your money, put it in there, and lift up the 1.5. And that should be, some people are very machmed for that. Other people, the general meaning is you don't have to do that. It's a nice thing. If you have it, why not? But you could just put in 20 shekels. You could give a bill. You can give a check. You don't have to give actual 3 half coins. But if you can't, why not? So you could just redeem it for those 3 half shekel pieces. Okay? Anyone who wants to give 3 half dollars, that's fine as well, Albert. Okay. Who do you give it to? Who do you give it to? So we're not giving it to Karbanos, that's for sure. So there are two major opinions. The general opinion, that's one major opinion. The second one, though. The first opinion is generally give it to the poor. That's a nice motif in Purim in general, you give to the poor. And we will have a kupot of tzedakah here from Laman Achai, from kupot shel tzedakah, from our very own local Chasdei Shiloh. And you should give to one of those. Or you can give, like Rav Avadi Yosef says, to support Talmud Torah. That's another valid place where the monies can go. Okay, so that's Machzita Shekel. Zecher, the Machzita Shekel. Questions? Yes?
Does it have to be all of it in one place, or can you spread it out?
That's a good question. I would say as follows. Because the whole thing, most hosts can agree, is a minig anyway, and you really don't have to give, you know, a specific amount, you can spread it out. You're Sephardi, I don't know, but you could also spread it out. It's fine. Okay, Parshat Zachor, is this? Yes, sir.
As a homeless, as a poor person, would you have to give, if you were the poor person that would most likely, in most case scenario, be needing to give and not being able to give up in order to...
Should the poor person give as well? I think everybody should try to give something. Give a half shekel piece. I think even a poor person can give a half a shekel. And Bezrat Hashem, a person gives a half shekel, he'll get a lot more back. Meaning, you have to have a muna that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, we have a mitzvah to fulfill, even if it's a minig tov, minig ba'alma. Still, give a half a shekel.
Can't argue with that.
So don't. Okay. Parshat Zachor. This Shabbos we read Parsha Zachor. Okay. The pasuk, basically in the Torah we find Zachor et Asher Asa Lecha Amalek, right? Al Tishkach and Machotim Ched Zecher Amalek. We have three mitzvot. Remember, don't forget, and wipe them out. Okay, those are the three mitzvot. One of them is remembering. How do you remember Amalek? So the Gemara already says that Al Tishkach means don't forget. That's in your heart. Don't forget. So remembering can't be in your heart as well. What is remembering? It must be with your mouth. So just like on Shabbos we have Kiddush, Zachor Dimashmat Kodesho, Zachreyu Aliyah, mention wine. So too for Zachor at Asher Salach Amalek, mention Amalek. How do we mention Amalek? What do we do? Eitan? What do we do when we to be Mekai in the midst of Zachor et Asher Salach Amalek? What do? We read the Parsha Zachor. Very good, very good. So that seems to be pretty much universally accepted that we read the Parsha Zachor. The question is, when do we read it? How often? So today, the minhag is once a year we do it. But there are all sorts of shitas. Everywhere from every single day a person should remember Amalek. Some people do that. Anybody here in the room mention all the different zechirot you're supposed to do every day? Anybody do that? So like, you know, remember what the Kodesh Baruch Hu did to Miriam. Remember what he did to Amalek. So some people do it every day. And there's one opinion even. You do that? Very good. So that would be, that's one shita that say it every day. And then there's another shita, once a lifetime is enough. Because it doesn't say in the Torah or in the Gemara how often you have to be honest. Yes. Oh, I thought you were going to give me an insight. That's good. That's great. Excellent. Well done. Well done. So, Shkoyach. Okay, so the so we say it once a year, and then the question is, you know, when do we say it? We say it next to the near Purim, the Parshat Zachar. That's when we read it. That's what the Rabbanan instituted, and we should read it from a Sefer Torah. And there's a whole machlokas whether it has to be from a Sefer Torah. Some say really you could read it from a Chumash. Others say, no, it's got to be from a kosher Sefer Torah. Others say, not only should it be from a kosher Sefer Torah, but it's got to be in the context of Kriyas HaTorah. We read it as a maftir, right? And they say that not only are you not Yotze if you don't read it, but Tzibur, but you also have to hear the brachot, says the Taz, and it really has to be in the context. So the most machmir opinion, which we go like, is that you should read it from a Sefer Torah, with a minyan, and the brachos, and hear every single word. And you have to pronounce every single syllable correctly. And therefore, everybody who's a Baal Korah would know that when you read, or even if not, when you read Parshat Zachor, there is a certain pasuk, a certain word, which we're not sure how to pronounce it. Which word is that? Is it Zecher or is it Zecher? So therefore, the Baal Korah, at least the Ashkenazim, they read the pasuk twice. The Sfarim actually don't do this. The Ashkenazim read the pasuk twice to make sure that you got everything correct exactly. Rav Netanel will probably be here. If he's not there, Rav Siv will say it. And we'll say, Everyone should have kavana biyotze a mitzvah doraita of Parshat Zachor. And therefore we ask everyone to be totally silent, to listen to every single word of the Baal Kriya and the Bracha. And don't talk. And have kavanah, and he will have kavanah to be motzi. We're very, very makbid. This is the only parsha that everyone agrees. Right? Yes, sir? Okay, I'm sorry. So that's Parshat Zachor. The Batei Knesset are always packed. Women. Most poskim hold that women are also chayav in hearing Parshat Zachor. So they come, and they come. And then you have Rav Netanel saying, There'll be a reading for women afterwards, and therefore, please keep your babies out and don't disturb anyone who's trying to be mekayim mitzvah d'oraisa. That's what he usually says, and that's what happens every year. So that's what we do. We have a special kriya for the women at the end of davening, so that they don't interrupt with the babies and stuff like that during davening. Fine. So that's Parshat Zachor. Any questions on Parshat Zachor? No. Great. Okay. Tanit Esther. Tanit Esther is this week. Normally speaking, Parshat Zachar is on Shabbos before Purim. Then we have Tanit Esther before Purim. This week, because Tanit Esther falls out on Shabbos, we push it back to Thursday. Okay. Tanit Esther, there's a very big question where this came from, because it's not recorded in early sources. It's only recorded much, much later, and we don't really know where it came from. But the Shulchan Aruch brings it down the halacha. There are many different theories why we're fasting. Are we fasting because Esther fasted and told everyone to fast for three days after hearing that there is going to be a gezeira against the Jewish people? Are we fasting because, like I think Rabbeinu Tam says, it's Yom Kila Lakol, to remember the 13th of Adar, when they were preparing for war, they fasted then. Why are we fasting? It's a good question. Yes? Lechavad Shabbos, Lechavad Shabbos. There is one opinion that says let's do it on Friday. Only Asar B'Tevet, the only fast, and Yom Kippur, I guess, right? That we would have on an Erev Shabbos, because it says Be'etzem Yom Hazeh B'Asar B'Tevet. But the other fast, we push it back. Although there is one opinion that says this is not a sad fast. This is a happy fast. We know the ending, right? The happy ending. So therefore, we're fasting to commemorate something, whatever it is. But it's also a good thing to have people come together and daven together. So that's Tanit Esther. It's a little bit more of a festive fast than most fasts out there. And we're more lenient on Tanit Esther because it's not the same status as the big four fasts: Asar B'Tevet, Shvat, Asar B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, and Tzom Gedalia. It's more lenient than that. Practically speaking, unless a person is very sick, you don't break the fast here either. But again, if you're feeling sort of sick, ask your local posik, your local rabbi, and we'll see if we can give you a leniency on Tanit Esther. Okay. All right. Any questions, Tanit Esther? Great. We're moving on. Shabbos, then Mikra Megillah. Right after Maariv, or in the middle of Maariv, after Shemoneh Esrei, we read the Megillah. Okay. Men are chayv in the Megillah. Are women chayv in the Megillah? Answer? Yes. Why? Af hein ayu bo tones. Very good. So, women are also chayv because af hein ayu bo tones. There is a question, a lot of questions relating to women and the Megillah, Mikra Megillah, their level of chiyuv. Can they be motzi men? If we had kept the sign Dreshet Levator up there, I'd probably give a whole shiur just relating to women and Mikra Megillah. But since we took it down, I'm just going to say briefly that there are sources that point in different directions in terms of a woman's chiyuv relating to a man's chiyuv. There are different reasons brought down, a whole slew of them, a whole list of different reasons why different poskim, for different reasons, feel that a woman should not be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah, whether it's coveted sibur, whether it's kolisha, or whether their level of chiyuv is different than a man's. That they have a chiyuv lishma Megillah, and we have a chiyuv likrol Megillah, or whether ours is midin very sofrim, and theirs is midin tersuminisa, or afhena yud botones. There are many different, but generally speaking, we don't have women being motzi men. But there are opinions that say otherwise. Shulchan Aruch actually brings both opinions down the halacha. And even though normally we paskin that when there are two opinions brought in Shulchan Aruch, Rav Avad Yosef says, for the smart out there, that if there's a stam and yesh omrim, so the halacha is like the stam. So still in this case, he said since, we want to be yotzi al deshitot. We generally don't have women to be motzi. But if there's a place that a woman's being motzi, man, esh al mila smoch lefi aniyut dati. Okay, but we're not medreshed leva Torah. So we'll continue. There are a lot of halachas in the Megillah itself. The most important thing for you guys to know is how many people here have ever lain the Megillah before. You good? Very nice. Anybody else? Impressive. So the Baal Koreh has to know all the halachot of reading a Megillah. You have to have a kosher Megillah. You have to know how to lane it every single word properly. there are different opinions. What if you missed a word, you got a word wrong, or you yotza, you're not, is it robe, is it this, is it that? But for us, who are hearing the Megillah, we have to hear every single word from the beginning to the end. What if you're late? What do you do? There's a halacha that you have to hear the Megillah in the right order. You can't do it l'mafreya. You can't hear it out of order. So if you're late, you just missed the first parak. What are you going to do? So what you should do is you should take a Tanakh and you should read it. If you read it from a Tanakh, you're yotze the mitzvah, by the way. Take a Tanakh and read and catch up during one or two of the hamans. Right? Catch up until you get up to the point of the tzibur, and then continue to listen to the shliach tzibur, to the Baal Koreh. There are three brachot that are to be said. You should have kavanah for those brachot as well. What are the brachot? Mikra Megillah, Alanis Shechiyana, very good. So, and there's one bracha afterwards. A Rabbi Javanov. Yes, question? You should, in general, you should hear yourself, yeah. You should hear yourself, yeah.
And it can't be in English?
Good question, but certainly it should not, l'chatchila, it shouldn't be in English. Chila, yeah. Is the machlokas in the end. There are a few interesting things that happen in the reading itself. If you're paying attention, there is one time where everyone takes a deep breath and says a lot of words in one breath. That's when they do what? They kill a Sarah Dimei Aman. So, right? Chamesh mod ish. Like you have to try to do the whole thing in one breath. So that's a funny, it's an interesting minug that not only does the Baal Koreh do it in one breath, but even we do it in one breath. We try. Right? And the reason, according to the Shakas Arya, is that the Baal Koreh can be motzi you in the Megillah, but he can't be motzi you. He can't do a one breath for you. One breath you have to do yourself. He can do everything else but the one breath. One breath is your one breath. We don't usually paskin like the Shakas Arya in this, but if you can, why not? Try it. And it's a good, you can try it at home. Okay. There should not be any hefsek. That's another thing where you have the announcements very clear. No one should talk even one word. Because there are shitas that if you have a hefsek, it's a problem. You may not be yotze in the Megillah. So don't be mafsik. It's actually more chamer for us than the Baal Koreh. The other thing is that there are four psukim that are said aloud. Name one of them. Right? We don't say kentiyan. Very good, very good. Or menachai yudi, right? Etc., etc. So we have four psukim that are said. We say those aloud as well. And then everyone's favorite part of what's unique about Megillat Esther is what? Not everyone's favorite part. They're making the noise. This is actually not so, you know, there were earlier postgame who were not so happy with this. That Yitzi, when people would make noise, there was some postgame that said this is not a good thing because we want to hear the Megillah. And people may not hear words that way. So we're very makvid that if there is noise, we don't start reading it until there's quiet. Generally in this base measure, we raise our hand, and then everyone's supposed to be quiet, and then we continue reading the Megillah. Noise should be done with a device, hopefully not something that's going to, you know, blow out someone else's ears. So we generally don't use, like, air horns and stuff like that. But, I'm sorry, Joe. But you can use a grogger any size.
Or a bag of pasta.
Or you could pasta for... One second. Shake and donate, which really should rhyme. And it's... Anyway. Okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't have to rhyme. It makes you think. So the minig is, how many times does it say Haman in the Megillah? Anybody know?
15.
Who said that? 54. 54 times. So 54 times we make noise. It is rumored that in some places... They also they shake their grogger when they say the word Medina,
and maybe
or Mas, which is taxes. Very good, but I don't believe it. Anyway, so in terms of the Megillah itself. Any questions on the reading of the Megillah? Okay, next, there were three enactments, as the pasuk says. So we have three mitzvahs that we're going to talk about right now. One mitzvah is the mitzvah of having a sudat purim. Another mitzvah is the mitzvah mishloach manot. And the other one is matanot levyonim. Okay? So we'll start off in order of the psukim says mishta, yemei mishta v'simcha. So what is mishta v'simcha? Sudat Purim. Sudat Purim is very central to our celebration of Purim. Just as a we know that there's a mitzvah to have a suda in Purim, there's no mitzvah to have a suda on Hanukkah. Why not? Why not? We're both celebrating great victories for the Jewish people. True, correct. In Hanukkah, really, they weren't the agenda of the Greeks was not to kill us physically. It was to battle us spiritually. They just didn't want us to be Jewish. By Mordechai v'Esther, Haman wanted to wipe us out. You know, not connection to our observance of mitzvos, but rather lashmi larog labei, right? Minar vad zaken, right? Everybody.
So during Purim, I'm saying Esther made two feasts, and during Hanukkah there was no feast made, and through the feast which Esther made came about the survival.
There actually is some sort of minig in Hanukkah to eat like dairy because, you know,
because
the Hashmonite Yehudit, right? She gave in a meal, right? So we have a meal with dairy. But here the ikar is what was said, that really we're celebrating a physical victory and therefore we have a physical celebration. When do we do it? When do we have Sudat Purim? What do you think? So you do it during the day, not at night. There are many other reasons, perhaps another shir, about the difference between the feeling of nighttime versus the daytime. But for now, to suffice, halachically, you yotze the mitzvah in the daytime and not in the nighttime of Suda Purim. There are those who say that you should also have some sort of Suda at night as well, like eat more than you normally eat at night, but the ikar is during the day. Already from when the sun rises, that's already a legal time to have your Suda, but generally we do it later on to allow to do the other mitzvahs of the day in the morning. Okay. First we'll get to technical questions, and then we'll get to the sugya of drinking during the Suda. Benching. Let's say a lot of people start their meal late, although there are some poskim that look down on this. Other people say it's really not an issue, and just as long as you start on time. But let's say you didn't start, or you started early at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, but then you went all the way to the nighttime, which all of us, I think every shiur here will probably go till after it's dark. What about alanisim? Do you say it? Do you not say it? This is actually a machlokas. We generally do say alanisim in the benching. It is also still Purim in Yerushalayim, but still, technically speaking, we do say alanisim, although that is a machlokas. And what is this considered a seuda? Should we eat? Should we bread like during Yontem? So there also there's a machlokas whether you need to eat bread or not. But most poskim look favorably upon eating bread and make it a kviya suda proper with bread. However, even the poskim who say that you should have bread, what would happen if you didn't say alanisim during benching? Do you go back like on Shabbos there's a mitzvah to have bread or Yontem mitzvah to have bread, and if you forget Ritzei or Yalaviyavo, you would go back. You'd have to start over, right? But would you say the same thing for alanisim in benching? No, why not? Ah, but let's say you say you are chayv to have bread. So we say that benching is no more stringent than Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei, if a person forgot to say Yalav Yavo on Yud Dalid, right, Adar, he would not have to go back, right? He would not have to go back. It was instituted by the Gaon, perhaps later on, whatever the reason is, it's not the same level of chiyuv as Ritzei or Yalav Yavo. So you would not go back. That's just a technical point. Okay. What about meat, Rabbi Tamal? Do you have to have meat in your suda?
Than any other day.
There you go. So Rabbi Tamal will say a kal v'chomer. If you have to have meat every day, so then certainly on Purim you should have meat. There are those who even question whether your yotzei the suda with chicken should have meat, right? And that's certainly Rabbi Tamal would hold that way. Okay, wine. That's now the big thing. It says you may. Oh. So that would imply that you should not have wine. And oh, very good. Well done. Well done. Okay. You may mishtev v'simcha, Albert. Okay. You may mishtev v'simcha. So we have mishtev v'simcha, simcha, and mishtev. Mishtev implies a certain sort of wine, right? That's what they did in the time of Achashverosh. They would have wine. Question is, when is this mitzvah to have wine? So the poskim seem to all indicate that the mitzvah of drinking on Purim is only in the context of the Suda. That's the Yemei Mishta V'Simcha. It has to be, that's the Suda, you have wine during that time. Not any other time. The yeshiva's policy is that we only have drinking in the context of the Suda. We'll get in a few minutes to the reason behind that, the rationale behind that. But halachically speaking, that is very correct, that the mitzvah of drinking is not at night, it's only during the context of the Suda, and that happens during the day. what about other beverages besides wine? So again, there are poskim that allow drinking other beverages, but most poskim say that the ikker beverage that should be drunk at the Suda is the wine. Why wine and not other beverages? Anybody? That's very good. Ein simchel basar v'yayin. Why else? Because that was the nes of Purim. The whole mishta that happened in Purim was through wine. So we drink wine, just like they drink wine. We drink wine. I would add, even though I do not like dry wine myself, it is probably better for your system to have dry wine and not sweet wine, which could cause you to not be as put together. In any event. Okay, so let's now get to the issue of wine. Okay? Drinking bichlal on Purim. Okay. Everyone listen, there's a famous Gemara on Megillah, Dav Zayin Amud Bet. If you want to do some homework, look this up and look at the Mefarshim on this. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Rava. Rava says, this is Rava's, one of the Rava's most famous statements, I guess. Mechayev inish libisume. He only says libisume once, by the way. Livisume, says that a man is chayev livisume. What does livisume mean? It means to become, Rashi says, lishtaker b'yayin. One of the sources that promotes wine means to become intoxicated with wine. That's what the Gemara says. Ad lo yada ben arur haman lebarach Mordechai. Until you don't know the difference between arur haman and barach Mordechai. Okay, that's the first part. Second part of the story. You listening? Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira. Two good friends, Rabbi and Rabbi Zeira. Avdu Sudat Purim Badi Adadi. They had Purim Suda together. Ifsum, they got intoxicated. Kam Rabba, Rabba got up. Shachtei le Rabbi Zeira. He shechted Rabbi Zeira. Says it in this book, right here. Lemachar, the next day, by Rachme, Rabba felt really bad. He davened into a Kaddish Baruch Hu, va'achya, and he brought him back to life. Lishana, the next year, Amarle, he said to him, hey, neiti marvin avit sudat purim v'adi adadi, hey, let's have purim suda together again. Guess what the response was? Amarle, lo b'chol shata v'shata min rachesh nisa. A nes doesn't happen every second, every day. In other words, he did not want to have Purim Suda with his good Shechting friend, Rabbi Shechter. Okay, so that was the Gemara there. The story, this Gemara has gotten attention from Rishonim, Achronim, from rationalists, from mystics, from everything, and everyone has a Shita. And it's amazing how you could take one piece of Gemara and understand it from one extreme to another extreme. The minimalists say basically as follows. They say, well, Rava made a statement, but then the story is very gory. And the story basically tells you, it's called a Maisalistor. Obviously, we don't pass like Rava. That's why the story was brought, because it's such a dangerous thing to do, to get drunk, and therefore you shouldn't drink at all. Right? That's one opinion. The Shulchan Aruch paskins lemaisa like Rava. He brings it down la'alacha, that a p'chayev in the shlibasume. He actually quotes the whole thing. So what do we do? And what does it mean? And there are those who say, it's brought down in the Rama, that, and it seems to be a quote from the Rambam, that a person should drink more than he normally drinks, and then get tired, and go to sleep. And when you go to sleep, you will not know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, right? So that's again, for those who say you should drink a little, and then go to sleep, and then you're done, you're yotze with the mitzvah. The problem is, lefi aniyut dati, that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says as follows, and I'll read it for you. The Rambam in Hilchot Megillah, Perek Bet, Halacha Tedvav, says, Ketzad chovat suda zo. What's the chova of the suda? And again, the Rambam says, drinking is in the context of the suda. Shulchal basar, eat meat. Vitken suda na'a. You should have a nice meal. Ki asher timtza yado. Whatever good stuff you could bring to the meal, meaning you should have a nice meal, according to your wealth. Vishote yain ad sheishtaker v'yiradem v'shichruto. So he says you should drink wine until you get drunk and you fall asleep. So those that say that the Rama is really in line with the Rambam, it's not exact. The Rama says you should go to sleep and then not know the difference between Araham and Bar Mordechai. But the Rambam actually says that a person should get drunk. But interestingly, the Rambam doesn't bring down to what extent you should get drunk, right? Until you don't know the difference between Araham and Baruch Mordechai. So it's very, very interesting. And the question is, when it says you should get drunk to the point that you don't know, does that mean ad v'ad bichlal? Or is it ad v'lo ad bichlal? To the point of not knowing, that you really don't know, or up until that point, but not to that point. Until that point, but don't pass that point. Don't get to the point where you don't know. And what does it mean that you don't know between Baruch Mordechai Arhaman? Is that you really don't know, or you just can't say it straight? Or you can't figure out the gematria of the two which are equal? Or like there are all these shitas about what it means. So what do? You have the minimalists who are telling you, drink not at all or very little. Then you have the extremists who say you have to get what is colloquially known as plastered, right? You have to get totally, you know, until you really, your penemius comes out, literally. So is that what you're supposed to do? Like, what is the... And you see different communities adopting different practices. I think every year Rabbi Adler from TABC writes a very strong letter against this practice of getting drunk, right? And et cetera, et cetera. And the Mishnah Berurah and the Ber Halacha, I think, goes to task on this practice of getting drunk to the point of shichruto shalot. We know that there's nowhere, you know, we have sources chock full in Chazal that talk about against getting drunk. And how, you look what happened in Tanakh, anyone who got drunk, the end was not a good end, right? There are different people in Tanakh that get drunk. We name a few, Lot, right, got drunk. We have Noach got drunk, we know what happened there. Very bad endings, right? So why would we condone such behavior? How could this be that we should do this? So the Mishnah Berurah definitely takes more of a conservative approach. Not that you're not allowed to drink, but you shouldn't get drunk to the point of shichruto shalot. But I think the proper hashkafa on this is what we say in general: achad hamarbe v'achad hamamid ubilvan yichaven shmo l'shem shemayim. Some people drink more, some people drink less. The main thing is not how much you're drinking, but why you're drinking. What's your intention when you're drinking? There's a concept that Adam is judged by three things: bekoso, bekaso, ubekiso. You want to know something about a person? You could test them in three ways. Bekoso, what is he like when he drinks? Bekaso, when he gets angry. And bekiso, how does he spend his money? Is he generous? Is he right? So these are the three ways to judge. So one of them is bekoso. There's a concept of nichnes yayin yatzasod. I think it's the same gematria. Nichnes yayin yatzasod. When you drink, you are basically going to reveal to the world who you are. You see people all the time that they're one person normally 364 days a year or 353 days a year. And then on Purim, all of a sudden, when they drink, stuff comes out that they never knew about the person. Now, sometimes it's very, very good. And sometimes it's not so good. So you have to ask yourself, do you want to reveal who you really are to the world, you know, by drinking? Adam, nidon, bekoso, bekaso, bekiso. One thing is sure, that no one should pressure anyone one way or the other way. One way or the other way. You shouldn't go around telling people that it's us to drink. Nor should you go around pressuring people that they have to drink. Everyone could decide his hashkafa based on who he is, you know, his personal medical needs and his personal hashkafa on the issue. And those who, I would ask though, that those who do drink realize that you need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of yourself. You shouldn't be at a point that people have to take care of you. And those who don't drink realize that you may need to take care of some people. So be responsible with that as well. Okay, I think, any questions on this this issue? Okay, as you know, we're very, very conservative when it comes to drinking all the rest of the days of the year, and therefore I ask as follows. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I think Gedalia Persky from the wine store is coming to us. Yes, yes, and he has all the finest selections that he will show you, and if you want to buy stuff, you could pay him, and he will deliver it straight to the Suda for you. It'll have your name on it and everything, so you'll have your bottle where you need it, and that's it. I ask and insist not to bring any alcohol into the dorms. If, for whatever reason, somebody already did buy something, I understand, so give it to Azriel, and Azriel will hold it for you until that fateful day. Yes?
Does the guy take credit, or just cash?
I assume that he takes credit. I assume so.
Wine,
there's all sorts of prices. I don't know. I don't really know. From 20 to 60, on to 80, I don't know. Azriel would know. Azriel, what? Yeah, something like that. We get a 5% discount on the yeshiva. Very nice. Give your savings to Matanot Levyonim. Okay. I think we haven't exhausted the topic, but I think it's enough. But practical question. Oh, before my practical question, Jojo.
What if you want to buy wine as your mishpacha?
You know, that's a good question. It's a fair question, even. I would allow you to, in that case, wrap it up. But it can't be opened, obviously. You're giving it as much as you. Is that okay, Israel? Is that all right? What do you say? I think that's acceptable. Jojo, it's acceptable. Question. Can you bench or daven while you're a drunk?
No.
Good question. A person who's had a revit of wine, if he knows what he's doing, he's allowed to bench. But in terms of davening, you're standing before the king, you need to let the effect of the wine go away. Even if you only had a cup of wine, you shouldn't daven right afterwards. You should let time pass till you daven. We will have davening here at 9:30. I imagine that there may be another davening later on in the evening, but that is what we're going to do. So we ask that you be responsible. Yes, there are shitas out there that you could daven drunk. I don't know what it's based on. I really don't know what it's based on. I don't know. I'm not saying I'm not mezalzel on the shita, but mainstream halacha does not allow davening standing before the king in a tipsy state. Yes, and then yes, yes.
If it's nifas and nefesod,
yes.
Then wouldn't you be able to express your feelings? You got the best way.
I think so. I will answer that also in a broader context. The question was, well, if it really is nichnas yayin yatzasod, won't you be able to express yourself beautifully after drinking? So I think so. But I also believe in setting people up for success. When you drink in the context of your Rebbe's home, and their divrei Torah, and a beautiful seuda, and an atmosphere of chag, beautiful things will come out. But if a person drinks with a bunch of boys on the roof, or whatever, that's not a context which is going to bring out positive things. You know what I'm saying? So the context that we put ourselves in also can set ourselves up for a yatzasod which is sweet, and not a yatzasod which is...
If you're still a little tipsy after the suda, it wouldn't be that terrible to doubt.
So, again, they're halachot. The halacha says that a person is standing before the king, he has to stand in a respectful way. Yes, Josh?
Sort of the same question that he was asking.
Yeah.
If the way that we're getting drunk is supposed to be, number one, godly, and number two, assumingly, what goes along with that is respectful, then I don't understand why we're saying it's inappropriate. The way we're going to be drunk is inappropriate also, that we can't daven.
It's a halacha. When we stand before the king, we're not supposed to be drunk. Because it's not, listen, you could be very respectful before a king when you're drunk, but they're... the guards there are not going to be too happy with you that you're coming to speak to the king in such a way, right?
Unless the king is the one who asked you to get drunk.
Yeah, but not when you daven to me. I hear the taina. Just to be melamed tzchus, there are people. Maybe you know what the sources are. Rav Kook says you can. Who told you that? You read it. We have sources that say that Rav Kook says it's okay.
Because he said that if you're in front of the king, you're gonna compose yourself. If you're gonna not stand in front of the king, like all the drummers, like you're gonna take away your stories.
Okay. I'm here to bring normative halacha, but again, there are sources that say otherwise on Purim specifically, but. Generally speaking, we don't rely on those sources for davening Shmoneh Esrei, so we should have a lapse of time from when we stop drinking to when we daven Shmoneh Esrei. We're almost done. Next to halachas, that's drinking. Matanot levyonim. Matanot. Oh, you have a question? Shusha. Oh, we'll get there. Shushan Purim comes after Purim, so I'll get there after. Okay, Matanot Levyonim, we're almost done. Okay, very simply, there's Mishloach Manot and Matanot Levyonim. The Pasuk says, very clearly, right? What does it say? La'asot otam yimei mishteh v'simcha u'mishloach manot ish l'reyu u'matanot levyonim. So the Pasuk, the order of the Pasuk is Mishloach Manot and then Matanot Levyonim. And that's the way that the Rambam brings it down. He brings down the laws of Mishloach Manot, then the laws of Matanot Levyonim. Shulchan Aruch switches it, that he puts the laws of Matanot Levyonim first. And perhaps the reason behind this is that we have to know what's the Iker. What's the Iker and what's the Tafel? Matanot Levyonim is very, very important. Mishloach Manot is also important, but Matanot Levyonim, that's really the Iker of what the day is all about. As the Rambam writes himself, Mutav l'adam l'arbot is important. L'arbot b'matanot yavnim l'arbot b'sudato u'b'shiluach manot l'reyav. It is more important, Gibby, to give money to matanot levyonim than it is to have a big suda and to have beautiful mishluchei manot. You should be spending more money on that, on giving to the poor, than on just giving presents to your friends. She'ein simcha gedola u'mefura el tzameach lev aniim v'tomim v'almanot v'gerim. There's no greater simcha than to make those who are not as fortunate as we happy. Those who are a yatom, an almana, a convert, someone who doesn't have family, someone who's poor. And he says, and someone who does that, he's doma l'shechina. He's similar to the shechina, as it says, l'achiyot ruach shvalim u'lachiyot lev nitkayim. So, Bezrat Hashem, we should do that. What should we give in Matanot Levyonim? How much money should we give? So, it's generally accepted, anything you could buy a small meal, whatever small meal is. How do you determine what the amount of a small meal is? I guess during Ben Hazmanim, when Ephraim gives you like those tickets, how much money you get to redeem for a meal on Ben Hazmanim, that would probably be the same amount. So there's a 20 shekels, 25 shekels, that's the minimum amount, but the maximum, there's no maximum. Yeah. The who what?
The pasta. It's not given to the poor on Purim, so I don't think it counts, right? It has to be given to the poor on Purim.
Most people think that. It has to be given to the Gabbayim. But if the Gabbai gives it after Purim, it's fine as well. In fact, yeah. In fact, we collect money in Chasdei Shiloh. Half of it we give on Purim, and half of it we give when they need it the rest of the year, rest of the time. So you should really give to Gabayit Tzedakah, because they know who really needs it. However, there's a din on Purim called Poshid Yadav Not Nimlo. Anybody who thinks they don't have to check for a Tuda, you don't have to check to see if they're the real thing, if they're really poor. Anybody who asks for money, you give them. You give them. So you should fill your pockets with half shekels, you know, half shekel pieces to start giving out to everybody, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
So is that like in addition to the 20 or the small meal you have to pay? Like, is it
Yeah, you're right. As a whole, it should be the total of a small meal. Yes, yes. Matanot levyonim means more than one evyon. So you should give at least 40 shekels, you know, because matanot levyonim, and that's for two, but anything extra, you can take from your maser k'safim. Yeah.
Do you have to give money, or like, can you see a proper
You don't have to give money. You give them food. You shouldn't give them a shirt, but you should give them food or money. But it's preferable to give them money. That's what they really want. They don't want to start schlepping around bags of food with them wherever they go. Although some say that the matanot levinim is to allow them to have a Seudat Purim. So very good. Okay. Almost done, almost done. Any other questions? Okay. Who is considered an Evyon? Very simply put, someone who can't make it at the end of the month. He doesn't work, but he doesn't have enough money to support himself. That's the bottom line. It could be a family who makes $100,000 a year. But if they can't support themselves by the end of the month, they're considered an Evyon for Matan Levinim. Period. Mishloach Manot, Ishto Kegufo, we say that a person, he and his wife are like one, they could really give, you know, etc. But some people say that the woman should give separate and the man should give separate, but generally speaking, we're knowing that they give together. Mishloach is singular, Manot is plural. Give two things. There's a misnomer out there. Some people believe that you have to give two different brachos. It's not true. You can give two things of the same bracha. You can have meat and a Coke. And that's they're both chaco, and that's fine. Or even two drinks, some say. Or two pieces of food, yeah. Zero what? Count it twice, double dip? You can't double dip. It's a good thing to give Mishloach Manot to an Avion, but then you also have to give Mishloach Matanot Evinim as well. You can't double dip. But it's a good question. And finally, the last topic, and then Azriel has an announcement. I'll be 5 more minutes, I apologize. Costumes. So, yes, you're allowed to, and even some say encouraged, to dress up on Purim, to be Marva Simcha. There is one limitation, probably more than one, and that's cross-dressing. Cross-dressing is a machlokus, actually. There are those who say it's permissible. There are those who say it's not permissible. We hold like those who don't permit it. So, especially in this yeshiva kadosha, we want to make sure that we could recognize our boys, and that's why we took down the midrashet sign. Yes?
Where is the origin of dress?
It's a great question. They say that in general, Megillat Esther comes from the Lashon Ligalot et Anistar, to reveal something that's hidden. So we hide ourselves, just like the whole plan, everything that's going on in it, Kadosh Baruch Hu is hidden in the whole Megillah. So too, we hide ourselves. I don't think that I think it's a rather recent minhag of a few hundred years. I don't think it's been, you know, for thousands of years. In any event, it is fine to dress up, but a person should also protect his own dignity. And therefore, when you dress up, you know, you should protect that. When you're in the mesiba or something, let's say something happens, in the context of the Simcha Purim, you break something that is not yours, right? Do you have to pay for that? So the Mishnah Brewing's down. Actually, the halacha is that, obviously, if you didn't do it on purpose, if you did it on purpose, of course you have to pay for it. But if you accidentally break something while you're being Mesameach, it happened to me once, there was this guy who was 6'4". He actually lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh today. And we were in the same Beis Medrash. And as a joke, I was kidding with him, so I jumped up and I did a kick over his head. I know it sounds like I can't do that, but you never know. So anyway, so I did that. Then he's 6'4", and I'm not exactly 6'4" yet. So I'm trying. So he tried to do the same to me. But he did not succeed in getting it over my head, and he broke my glasses. So in the simcha of that, he broke the glasses. He didn't pay. He didn't have to pay. The Mishnah Berurah says it's different if it's something small. Or let's say you accidentally blow up somebody's house, right? You're not, whoops, you know, I didn't really mean it, or his car, or something. If it's something that's a major item, that you would have to pay for. A minor item, you don't have to pay for. A major item, you have to pay for. So please be careful. Purim Spiels, I was very impressed that whoever's running the Purim Spiel actually went to get reshus from different rabbanim or other people that, you know, to imitate you. Generally speaking, most rabbis are Mochel and their kavod on Purim. I think that the greatest form of flattery is imitation. I think that's a great form of flattery. However, even if someone's mochel, you shouldn't do something that's disgraceful for somebody. That you have to be very careful. And just to end before my last message, and then Azriel's message, to end, it was asked, the question was asked about Shushan Purim. Very big kitzur. This could be a shir within itself. Very big kitzur. We asked the guys, you know, the Purim Seudah goes till late, and then we dive in Marv, and then people are not exactly in the condition to go out. So we ask for two reasons. One, for safety reasons, if you want to go to Yerushalayim, you can go the next day. But don't go that night. It's not exactly. Also, if you go that night, and you stay in Yerushalayim that night, so then you're chayiv in all the mitzvot, so you have to hear Mikra Megillah. And it's not so practical to start looking at 12 o'clock at night, 1 in the morning, for a Mikra Megillah after you've joined your friends, yeshivas, masiva, etc., etc. So I would say as follows. L'chatchilu, don't go. If a person, whatever, he's stubborn, I want to go. So if you're in Yerushalayim the night after Purim, meaning in Shushan Purim, and you stay over, so then you're chayiv in all the mitzvot just like a Yerushalmi. The special din. You have the din of a ben krach. You're a person, you're a walled city dweller for the day. And yes, you could be a ben ir and a ben krach in the same year. You could be both of them. You could be chayav on Purim 2 days. There are those who say, those haters of Purim, that you could theoretically be putter from Purim. If you wake up in Yerushalayim the first day and you wake up in Beit Shemesh the second day, so you never chayav in Purim to begin with. Others say that's ridiculous. You can't be putter from Purim. But anyway, you can be chayav in Purim 2 days. There's a big machlokus. Is to go by your intention, what you wanted to do, what you actually did. Lemaisa, we say, wherever you wake up in the morning, wherever you are, you know, the sun rises on the morning of Shushan Purim, where you are, that's your din. You're in Beit Shemesh, so then you don't celebrate Shushan Purim. You're in Yerushalayim, then you celebrate with all the halachas. Yes, question. Ah, so I asked Rav Schechter. It's not Beit Shemesh as much as Tel Yarmut. Thank you. You Tel Yarmut. So Tel Yarmut. So Tel Yarmut was a walled city. They have proof, but since people have not been living there continuously, so then it loses its status. It's only a place which is inhabited, like Yerushalayim, perhaps Tveria, Yafo. There have been people there for thousands of years, but Tel Yarmut, there will be people there soon, but that doesn't count. It only has to be continuous. So sorry, Rabbi Enkin. Anybody got that? Okay. No, that's what Rav Schechter said, that it has to be continual dwelling there. Yeah. Say again. You do what? You go to Yerushalayim.
So if you wake up in Beit Shemesh,
you don't have to do the mitzvahs, no.
But like everyone has to like the idea that
you don't do the mitzvahs. You're a ben ir. That's visiting. Okay. My final message is just to connect everything. We spoke today about a number of issues, and I started with something that I'm going to finish with, and I'll give you Azriel. Adar, Shkalim, Machzita Shekel, Tanya Nester. The theme of all of these things is one theme. The theme of Purim is Achdus. It's Achdus. We're Sameach, Mishinich Nesadah, Marbim, Simcha, we have great Achdus. We give Machzita Shekel to show we're not whole. We need other Jews to be Mashlim us. We have the whole Tani Nester that we came together when our enemies rose up against us. We came together, the Achdus. We give Mishloach Manot to show Achdus. Matanot Levyonim, we're equalizing everybody, that we all are the same, everyone has a Suda Purim, and we drink. We know that drinking also very often brings people together who normally don't feel comfortable together. The drinking creates that camaraderie of togetherness. So the mitzvot of Purim, that everyone is together, is a tikkun of what Haman said about the Jewish people. We're an Am Echad Mefuzar Mefurah Miben Amim. That we are all scattered, we're dispersed, we have no achdus. Purim is there for that tikkun. It's the machzita shekel that we're all giving together to the same cause. The kimu v'kibla, that we're re-accepting the Torah upon us. It's a time of achdus, acceptance of Torah. And Bezrat Hashem, we should continue every single year, accept upon ourselves the mitzvahs of Purim, but the message of Purim, equally important, is the message of Purim, perhaps even more important, that we are all one nation. And therefore, tonight, at 8 o'clock, come to the Gina and let us show that not only all of Beit Shemesh is one, but really all of Am Yisrael is one.